G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM. Good afternoon, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, whatever else you might be and wherever else you might be. Welcome to Conversations this afternoon here on Faith FM. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been live with you. We've had a few team members off and away and doing all sorts of other things, unfortunately. But we are stoked to be back with you here. If you're listening live, it is Monday the 17th of June 2024, and here in Melbourne it is 3:37 p.m. in the afternoon. It might not be that time if you're listening to a replay or a podcast, but it doesn't matter. You're here with us.
But we're here, yes.
We're very happy that that's going on. How are you, Alicia?
I'm good. It's good to be back. I think it's been a few weeks
since I've been
in the studio.
Let's not focus on the past.
But yes, we are here.
Yes, we are definitely here. We don't have Robbie with us today, unfortunately, but hopefully we will have him back live in the studio with us next week. Robbie's been taking a little bit of time off, and good on him.
Yeah, we need him
fresh and full of energy.
Yes.
To be doing all of the amazing stuff that he does around Faith FM. Hey, Alicia, did you know that in the month of June 2024, Faith FM is running a big end of financial year giveaway?
How exciting. I'm really excited for that. It's funny because my daughter, she sort of caught a glimpse of it while I was working on some of the promo stuff, and she's like, wait, can I enter that? I'm like, unfortunately, no,
Probably not. You can enter, but you can't.
But you can't win.
But we actually have a special code word here for conversations that we can give away. And if people take that and they go to the competition draw, which is at faithfm.com.au, they can use our special code word from Conversations to get an extra entry. And what are some of the things they can win?
Well, we have the best prize that we have is an iPad 10th gen, and it's brand new. We've seen it. Robbie showed it to us on live on our Zoom call the other day, and like, looks really neat.
It's the real deal.
Fresh out of the box, real deal. Yes.
Nice.
And we also have a couple of $20 gift vouchers. And there as well.
$20 is $20.
Yeah, especially in this, you know, day and age.
Yeah.
$20 will go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. You take that $20, get on Facebook Marketplace or something down here in Melbourne, buy yourself a heater. you definitely need to. So look, I mean, let's give away this code word right away because we want everybody to be using it and getting extra entries in this draw. The code word, all you need to do is you take it and you go to faithfm.com.au, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of your screen, you will see the big Faith FM end of financial year giveaway competition draw. Yeah, that's a lot of words to describe it.
Thing, yep.
Draw, yep, the thing. And you can go in there. To enter the draw, basically all you need to do is you download the Faith FM app onto your phone, which you should totally do anyway.
Yes, yes.
Because it means as you're driving around, you don't have to worry so much about reception
and
all that sort of thing. So you'll always have nice coverage. You can always tune into conversations really easily. So you basically download the Faith FM app onto your phone, you send a little text message to a number to confirm your entry, and then there's a special slot in there that says live show secret codes.
Yes.
And so the secret code for Conversations is, are you ready for it?
Drum roll, we need a drum roll.
No, we're not doing that because Robbie's not here. He would be disappointed to have it. But it is the word speak, which is appropriate for Conversations,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we do, we speak.
It's very fitting.
Yes. So if you go to faithfm.com.au, go to the competition page, our big end of financial year competition, go to secret codes for Conversations, and the live show code is the word speak. Now, remember, you can actually tune in to any single one of our live shows, of which there's, at the moment, we've got
eight
main live shows. Do you know what they are?
Okay, I'll give this a go. There's breakfast.
Yep.
There's the drive time.
Two.
There's us.
Yep, three.
Tassie Encounters.
Four, yeah.
We've got...
You've passed so far, so that's pretty good.
Okay, that's good. Looking Up.
Yep.
We also have A Light in the Dark.
Yep. Ooh, two more.
Aussie Pasta.
Yep.
And...
Oh, it's on Thursday afternoons.
I should No, there's one of the producers.
There's a hint. There's a hint here saying, yes, there you go. Okay. So you got all eight of them. Oh, very good. Yes. Well done, Alicia.
I can keep my job.
You can keep your job. That's right. So if you're listening and you tune into any single one of those shows, they all have their own special secret code that you can use
to get
extra entries into the draw.
Increase
your chances of winning yourself a nice shiny iPad or a, I don't know if the gift cards are shiny, but a gift card nonetheless.
Awesome. No,
which
that's good.
Pretty cool. So, yeah, make sure you tune into all of those different live shows. And, hey, we also do want to mention that end of financial year, we have organized a special connection with, how should we describe them? It's essentially with an organization that lets us be able to do tax-deductible donations.
Oh, awesome.
So at the moment, like Faith FM as an organization, we're still working on getting tax-deductible status.
Yeah.
But we do have like some special projects that we can combine in to enable us to accept tax-deductible donations throughout June.
Nice. So that's just throughout June?
Just throughout June. Okay. So it's a partnership with what's called the Adventist Media Network Cultural Trust. That's a big mouthful.
Yeah.
But it does mean we can accept tax-deductible donations to support special projects for Faith FM all around Australia.
Oh, awesome.
So if you've considered supporting Faith FM in the past, but you've been kind of going, oh, well, you know, I wish it was tax-deductible, now's the time.
Now, yes.
Yep.
That's it. And I know we've been working on that for a while.
It has been.
So it's awesome.
Ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So we would love it if you would be willing to support Faith FM in our mission all around Australia. You can make a tax-deductible donation this June only. So if you're listening in the future and it's not June 2024, unfortunately, it might be a bit challenging.
I'm sorry.
but if you would like to support us, we would appreciate that. To the ends of the earth. And so we're incredibly grateful. So you can make a tax-deductible donation right up until the end of June 2024 by calling us on 1-800-FAITH-FM. That is 1-800-324-843. And I guess we just want to say thank you for supporting us. Whether it's this end of financial year or you're one of those awesome people who are subscribed to helping us with a dollar a day donation, all of those things make a huge difference to Faith FM staying on air. So we are incredibly grateful, and we just want to say a really big thank you to you. We love receiving your stories, your text messages, your calls.
Yeah, for sure.
And even if you are not able to donate to help us, what I would request of you is if you're willing to pray for us, because there's a lot of spiritual barriers to what Faith FM does as well, not just financial ones. So prayer is just as important, if not more. So we would really appreciate it if you could keep us, you know, the presenters and the teams that go out and install new stations and maintain stations. And there's a whole lot of work that goes on behind the scenes here at Faith FM to keep the network operating and growing and on air. So if you'd be willing to pray for that, we would appreciate it magnificently. So today on the show, what we are going to be talking about is something that I experienced recently, and it kind of threw me back to when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And it was basically a situation where I was talking to a mate and, you know, having a little conversation with them. And then somebody else came up and sort of joined the conversation, and they basically started saying something that wasn't very nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was kind of just like, oh, hang on. Like,
yeah.
You know, do you need to kind of come in and say that? Like, it's, you know, I'm not really vibing with it.
Yeah.
You know? was basically what it was. And then afterwards I kind of said to them, hey, you know, like, you probably didn't really need to say that.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of put someone down when you came over and said that. And it sort of reminded me of, I don't know if your parents ever said this to you as a kid, and they would say, if you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say anything at all.
Don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And I think to a large degree, sometimes we get kind of suckered into things where if somebody else is talking about something and it's not very nice, sometimes we often get suckered into that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when the gossip train is going around or however you want to put it, it's easy to actually just kind of start saying things that maybe you don't really actually want to say.
Yes, yes.
Or wouldn't really be things you'd normally think about. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't really sit here when I'm or sit here at work or when I'm at home thinking to myself, oh, you know, that rotten person who did this to me. And
yeah, yeah.
And I don't
be using my energy on that.
Good. I'm glad. But for some reason, when we get into conversations and maybe when we're around other people, suddenly it becomes really easy to end up talking about others. And, you know, inevitably it seems to end up that we start saying not very nice things.
Exactly, you wouldn't normally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've had similar sort of experiences before where, you know, you don't actually, you don't really feel negatively towards someone or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But you're in some sort of social setting and it just seems to come out.
Because it's the topic of the conversation or something.
Yeah, something
I've seen it happen a lot. And it's funny because sometimes it comes from people that I would never expect to say like certain things.
Yep.
And then you sort of just scan the room or like the space that you're in and then you understand, okay, it's affecting like the things that you say when you're in a group, especially if it's like close friends or close family.
Yeah.
It really does affect your character sometimes, I think.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You start thinking things about other people that, you know, you've never had that actual experience with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I guess it can be one thing to, you know, to if somebody potentially might caution you about somebody else, that can be, you know, that can be a little bit different to kind of just like bad mouthing somebody else.
And yeah, say,
oh, well, you know, they're not very nice and they do this and da 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 da.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, like, you know, just be careful if they, you know, if they ask you to do something or whatever it might be. Anyway, so there's a little bit of a distinction. It's not to say that, you know, there can be wisdom in sharing about other people. But we definitely don't want to be gossips and like just letting things come out of our mouth that really just kind of tear others down.
Yeah. And, you know, once you say a bad word or a bad thing about someone, you can never take it back. No matter how many times you say sorry, like I've had that happen to me before. And it's like your view on people just change like as soon as they say, whether it's out of anger, you know, some people blame it on the kind of day they were having, or they might have just come out of a weird situation and they just said something that they may not have meant. But then it's like if you're the person receiving it, it really makes you think about what that person really thinks about you, which is not a good feeling.
No, definitely not. And I don't know about you, but I remember stuff from back when I was a kid, you know, back when I was like 6, 7 years old, and I discovered that someone had been saying something really unkind about me, or I was in a scenario where people were saying really unkind things about somebody else, and it really stood out to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's things that weren't true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for years I kind of believed, oh, well, you know, they'd said that this person had stolen something and they were really rude and da 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 da. And I'd believed that.
Yeah.
Without even, you know, kind of asking the person who the story had been about or anything like that. So our words have a lot of power to really tear other people down.
Sure.
And the Bible does have a lot to say about this. And this is kind of what I want to delve into a little bit today, because I think we live in a world where gossip, and we've talked about gossip on the show before.
Yeah.
But I really want to delve into some more of the wisdom that the Bible has when it comes to, you know, what we say.
Okay, awesome.
Because there's a whole lot of great wisdom in there, and I think it can really help all of us. So that's going to be what we're talking about in conversations today. We're titling it Hold Your Tongue. maybe that'll give you a little hint as to some of the wisdom the Bible has on this topic. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, we're going to go now to Brandon Lake with the song Gratitude. You are listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes' time.
I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00.
That's right. Welcome back. You just heard there Brandon Lake with the song Gratitude from the album House of Miracles. You are listening to Conversations here on Faith FM, where we're very good at talking, aren't we, Alicia?
Yes.
We talk a lot about all sorts of different things. But ironically, the topic of today's conversation should maybe give us caution.
About speaking, yes.
About speaking, you know.
Talking, having conversations, choosing your words wisely was another.
Yes, yes, that's
good. You know, going back to our childhood reminders from our parents, choose your words wisely was one of mine too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as we said before, you know, one of the very common sayings that parents often have for their kids is if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But we don't often say that to other adults, do we?
Yeah, it's like when you become an adult, all the things that you were taught as a child doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
When it probably should matter 10 times as much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard an adult say that to another adult. Hang on, you're not saying anything nice here. You're not really building anybody up or anything like that. Mm. So maybe you just shouldn't say anything.
Don't
maybe you should shut up. And I mean, it sounds funny, but I think that there's something actually really wise about that.
Mm.
And if you consider a lot of the wisest people in history, they often had pretty similar advice. You know, let's say if you look at someone like Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
You know, so if you're a Christian or not, you've probably heard of Gandhi before.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that he said about speaking was he said, speak only if it improves upon the silence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we live in a society where silence is actually kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah,
we feel like
it is.
We have to fill it up with people saying
with
things.
Something.
And we often kind of end up talking about stuff, you know, that might be kind of inane or stuff that's about other people that's kind of unkind.
Yes.
My wife and I, we run a discipleship group at her school with some of the students there.
Okay.
And I gave them a little bit of a challenge the other week, which was something that I'd been challenged with before when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge of saying, okay, try and spend just one day. We can throw this challenge out to our listeners as well, right? Try and spend one day where you don't talk about somebody else unless they are there with you.
Oh, that's a good challenge.
Yeah. And you'll suddenly find that you actually spend a lot of time just talking to other people about other people, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Know?
So when you're with somebody else, instead of talking about them or talking about you, you're talking about someone else.
Someone who's not there, yeah.
Yeah, which seems kind of odd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you actually think about it. So you're not actually really focusing on the person who's in front of you.
Yep.
You're just telling them about, oh, let me tell you about some other person or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the challenge, you know, for me when I was given that as a kid was to actually go, how much attention am I actually paying to the person who's in front of me?
Yep.
And if the person that I'm talking about, you know, let's say it's a friend or something like that, and I'm talking with my partner.
Yeah.
Would I say the same things about that friend if they were standing
right
there in the room with me? And if the answer is no,
then you probably shouldn't be saying it.
I should probably not be saying it. And I guess it, you know, the point that it brings up for me is, you know, how often, again, you know, that we spend a lot of time talking about others and how easy for it becomes for us to judge others. Instead of, you know, I mean, what's the opposite, right? And this is another potential challenge. So once you've tried the first one, which is, okay, don't talk about somebody that isn't physically there with you.
Yep.
And that's a hard enough one. So if you can do that for a day, man, you're doing pretty good.
Yep.
The other one is, okay, so now that you've tried that and you know how it feels like, you can substitute it with saying, okay, I'm only going to talk about somebody else if I have something positive to say about them.
Okay.
And look, I mean, that can be a bit of a challenge at first as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, like, I guess the thing is, there is an out with it because, again, it comes back to that whole idea, well, if I don't actually have something positive to say about them, then I can keep it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be, I'm not saying this needs to be some definitive life rule or something like that, because obviously, yes, there are times when it can be good to potentially caution somebody. But our focus ought to be on building other people up as opposed to tearing them down.
Yeah.
I remember years ago when my wife and I were getting premarital counseling, we were talking to our pastor and he kind of said, what an important thing to learn to do in a relationship is to never tear your partner down in front of others.
Mm.
Or when, you know, or if you're having a conversation and your partner isn't around, it's not a good thing to share, you know, the bad things or the things that are frustrating you about them. You it's better to focus on the positive things about them. And again, you know, this is not to say, oh, you should never acknowledge that relationships are difficult or anything like that. But there's a time and a place to actually address those.
Sure. Yep.
And generally speaking, the time and the place is when you are with your partner, not with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure, yeah, sometimes you may need to speak to a counselor or something like that to actually have the words and the tools to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different to, you know, bad-mouthing somebody else to a friend. And I don't know about you, but I've certainly been in scenarios where somebody has been kind of venting about me to about their partner or about somebody else.
Yeah.
And I guess I've learnt that my question is, so have you talked to them about this?
Yeah. Well, what did they say about?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so what did they think? You know, I had this with somebody the other day and they were talking about, oh, this person has got this all wrong.
Yeah.
You know, this particular topic or whatever it was. It's all wrong and, you know, it should be this. No. I said, oh, so have you asked them about it? What did they think? You know, what did you say? How did the conversation go?
Yeah.
I'm not a counselor or anything like that, but a lot of these things are things that I've learned from other counselors because I think we're very good at dealing with things that frustrate us in a very roundabout way instead of a direct way.
Yes.
You know, as a kid, you know, perhaps I didn't, when I had a problem with my parents or something like that and something they'd said or done or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of learnt to be a bit passive aggressive and just kind of go, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of just, you know, resist doing it as opposed to saying to my mum or to my dad, hey, I don't actually like this. Can I please not do it? Can I do something else? You know, because, you know, this is really frustrating me or making me angry.
Yep.
And then I start to feel frustrated or angry with you because I feel like you're the one who forced me to do this or whatever it might be. And I guess, you know, a lot of the time our frustrations and the reason that we say things that perhaps we wouldn't really mean to or things we wouldn't say to someone directly is because we haven't learned to actually hold our tongue.
Yes.
To be comfortable actually saying, well, actually, I don't have to say something about somebody else.
Yep.
I mean, how do you feel about this? Do you feel like I'm on the right track?
No, for sure. And it's like I always keep going back to like what my parents or, you know, had said when I was little. And it's like sometimes when people just need to vent. You know, I understand that and sometimes I can be like that about someone else.
Yep.
And then my question is like, why do you think it's hard for us to sometimes be a bit more direct or, you know, instead of going back to someone who wasn't even there in the beginning to talk about something that had happened?
Yeah.
I know my partner, for example, he's very good at dealing with things like straight away. He has no problem going up, you know, to someone if someone has upset him or, you know, if he's upset someone and he's good with those kind of conversations. Whereas I'm a bit more like, I'll just leave it and that, you know, that's enough. And then if someone else comes to me with the similar problem, and then sometimes I get caught in that conversation because of something that I haven't resolved with that person in the past. So it's like, yeah, you know, that happened to me too. And I haven't even said anything to that person.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. Yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. And I guess, you know, it's interesting that the solution that the Bible prescribes for this sort of thing is silence.
It can be so hard, eh?
It really can. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I think we can look to the example of Jesus when he was being accused of all sorts of awful things, basically. Yep. You know, the Pharisees were accusing Jesus when they were trying to have the Romans crucify him.
Yeah.
Of committing tax fraud against Caesar, for example, and of trying to lead a rebellion and trying to make himself king and all these, you know, we might look at that and go, oh, whatever. But basically, to the Romans, these were like really serious offenses. You know, equally as bad, if not worse, as to any insult you could throw at somebody.
Yep.
Because the purpose of these things was to have Jesus killed.
Mm.
And when Pilate, who was the Roman governor, who was kind of the judge overseeing this whole situation, he turned to Jesus and basically said, all right, so what do you have to say for yourself? And Jesus didn't respond.
When he could have said a lot.
When he could have said a lot. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this ties in with other sort of, I guess you'd call them kingdom principles that Jesus had when it comes to what you do when people accuse you or mistreat you or mock you or whatever it might be.
Yep.
Maybe we'll look at those, some of those after the next song break because there's a lot of wisdom we can draw out of it. But yeah, silence.
It's actually a
very powerful thing. You're listening to Conversations here this afternoon on Faith FM. We're going to hear now Aaron Schust with Wondrous Love.
Everyone's falling and everyone's dying and everyone's losing their minds. We need a Savior who's walked in our footsteps and we need a God on our side. To know why we're tempted, to know why we're tired, to understand suffering and pain. To give us a reason to hope for tomorrow and offer us strength for today. That you would leave your throne and make this world your home, forsaking majesty, embracing mundane and all of its shame. You walked our dusty streets, healing the world in need. You looked into the eyes of sinners like me, setting us free. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? That you would lay aside your glory for my soul. By those you love, you took all our blame, bearing our pain. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? That you would lay aside your glory for my soul. Your feet, they nailed your hands. affection, loss, and grief. You loved a world that nailed you to a tree. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? That you would lay aside your glory for my soul.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM.
Hey there, welcome back. You just heard Aaron Schust with Wondrous Love. And I just want to quickly remind everybody of the little challenge we issued a bit earlier in the show. And this sort of idea is, can you go an entire day without talking about somebody who's not physically there with you?
So you can take that challenge on as well.
All right. Yeah.
And I'll fill you in that on our next show, how it went.
It's interesting because I always find for me when I do that sort of thing, I actually end up engaging with the person who's there with me in a lot deeper way, because I can't just go, oh, have you heard about King Charles or, who obviously, I have no personal relationship with King Charles or anything like that. But it actually leads to you really caring about the person. You've actually got to go, so, how are you genuinely? What have you been doing? How are you feeling? You can't just kind of skim over it and say, oh, have you heard about this? It actually has to be genuinely connecting with the person who's there in front of you.
I'm so guilty of that with my partner, especially with like people that I follow on social media that I will never meet in my whole entire life. And I'm always like updating him on what's happening. And he looks at me, he's like, how is that going to affect my life at all? And I'm like, well, it was interesting to me until I really think about it. So yeah, it's going to be a good challenge, I think.
Okay, nice. And then once you've done that as a one day challenge, you can try it for, even do it for a couple of hours if a day is hard to work up to, try to do it for a week, see how you go. The second step of that challenge is you can talk about other people, but only try and say positive things about them.
Okay.
So that your aim is to uplift people.
Yeah.
Uplift, I guess, is the best word I can think of.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see, because I think sometimes we do it without realizing the amount of times we may talk about people that aren't even in the room. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, what I want to jump to now is I want to actually go to something that Jesus has said, because ultimately when it comes to wisdom, as a Christian, I believe that Jesus is God.
Yep.
I believe that he, as the creator of every human being, the human race, of the world we live in, of whatever you want to, however, to whatever extent you want to take that to, the world, the universe, the galaxy, he's got a pretty good idea of how the world works best. And that applies to relationships as well. We believe that Jesus is a relational God. He intentionally created humans so that they would have a relationship with him and also have a relationship with each other.
With other people, yeah.
And in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which is a retelling of Jesus' life by one of his followers, whose name was Luke, we see this kind of part of what you might call a bit of a sermon that Jesus was giving to not only his followers, but to a big group of people around him. And so in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus actually kind of addresses what we should do when it comes to relationship challenges, basically, if you want to put it that way. And I think this actually applies quite well to what we're talking about today in terms of what do you do when you want to say something unkind about somebody else.
Yep.
So, Alicia, do you want to read maybe chapter 6 and maybe we'll go verses 27 through to 30?
Yep, sure. So this is Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 30. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back.
Okay. So that's a definitely challenging sort of things that Jesus is saying to his followers, because it's kind of in the opposite sort of direction of perhaps our natural inclination.
Right? Yeah, yep.
When somebody says something rude or insulting to us or accuses us of something, whether it's true or not, what's our natural reaction?
Fire back.
Yeah. We want to fight back. We want to fire back. We want fairness. We want justice. You know, if somebody...
We always want to be like right or we want to be heard and it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if somebody slapped me, my inclination would be, you're getting a slap straight back, buddy, and probably a harder one.
Yeah.
And if somebody steals something from me, you know, I'd be...
You would want it back.
Yeah. I'd be willing to have a bit of a brawl to get my stuff back.
Yeah.
Or if I couldn't get my stuff back, it would be like, all right, well, what am I taking from you?
Can I have, yeah.
Yeah, to make this fair, to make it right. Interestingly, though, when you look at what Jesus says here as his wisdom for dealing with conflicts or dealing with somebody that's insulted you or somebody who's stolen from you, someone that, you know, for all intents and purposes, you probably wouldn't like after they've done something to you. At any point in there, does he say, well, if they insult you, you can insult them back?
Not at all.
Yeah. You know, and this one here, bless those who curse you. Like, maybe we don't have a real clear perception of this sort of thing in Australia and, you know, in the modern day.
Yeah, yeah.
But to curse somebody, like in ancient Jewish culture, was a big deal. It was basically saying, I hope that God ruins you.
Oh, okay.
You know, I hope that whatever you try, I hope your business fails. Yeah. I hope your family hates you. I hope you have nothing to eat.
I got you. Yep.
Yeah. And it's really harsh. Like if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, homie, what's
so
your problem?
Isn't
like,
it? Yes.
Yeah. How can you hate me that much that you would wish those things to happen to me?
Yeah.
And maybe I don't, you know, I don't have any enemies that would wish that
go to
on
that
me.
Extent, yeah.
But I guess at the same time, when somebody does something that I don't like, it can be really easy to ruminate on it and start going, oh, you know, I wish something happened to them, and then they'd know how I feel. And,
oh yeah, that's the thing. It seems like it's easier to go that way than it is to pray for those who mistreat you, or to love your enemies, or to do good to those who hate you. And it's funny because, like, when I read this, it's like stirring something in me, like sort of a challenge because, you know, you think of people who maybe they haven't hurt you or they've hurt your family, which in turn, you know, hurt you in some kind of way. And it's like, yeah, it's challenging.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something in us that is sort of wired towards especially, I would say, verbal retaliation. You know, we're not really a society that, you know, resolves things by violence
anymore.
Full-on
violence, yeah.
You know, from time to time, you'll see people having a bit of a wrestle or something like that. But we're not going to try and kill or maim or
resolve
something
like that. Resolve everything
like that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But Jesus is basically taking us a step further. He's saying, all right, well, not only if somebody does something that is hurtful to you, should you not retaliate? And this is kind of, you know, tying into this whole idea of saying, well, if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
To a degree, Jesus is taking this a step further. He's saying, well, not only if somebody is unkind to you, should you not retaliate. And for what it's worth, all of these things that he's referring to here, you know, these, if somebody curses you or if they slap you or if they take your coat, all of these were public things.
Mm, yeah.
You know, they would be things that would be done in front of other people. You know, somebody slapping you would be done in front of a group of other people to demonstrate that you are in the wrong and throw this conflict out into the community so that the community would decide who is right and who is wrong.
Yep.
And equally, you know, this idea of taking your coat would also be connected with a broader community thing because, you know, your coat was kind of an indication of ownership and
I gotcha.
Like seniority, so to speak. Yep. You know, like a treasured family possession.
Mm.
And Jesus is saying, okay, well, if somebody is choosing to do this to you, not only should you not retaliate, but you are called to do good to them in response. And not only in response, but in public.
Yep.
So Jesus is really, to me, I would say, laying out a bit of a challenge and demonstrating that the values of the kingdom of God are very different to the values of the kingdoms on earth. You know, if you want to call it the values of the, you wouldn't say the kingdom of Australia, but the values of the country of Australia.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, well, my kingdom's, my country's values are different to yours.
Different, yeah.
And which one would you want to pick? Which one would you rather be in? Would you rather live in a country where, you know, people retaliate and fight
with hate and bad mouth and hate?
And you have these ongoing conflicts and, you know, family feuds that go on for generations and generations. Or would you rather see those resolved? And to me, I would always say, well, I would rather see them resolved.
I know. Who wouldn't want peace and just, you know, happiness?
Yep. Absolutely. So I guess, you know, there's a bit of a challenge in there for each of us. And it comes down to the bottom here in verse 31, Luke 6, 31, which says, do to others as you would have them do to you.
Mm.
And when it comes to this idea of holding our tongues, I think that verse applies really appropriately.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you rather have somebody say something unkind about you? Or would you rather have them say nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. And the next step, would you actually rather have someone, even if they didn't like you, saying something good about you?
Mm.
You know, I mean, for me, I have to try and think of, well, if there's people that I don't get along with, people that I don't like, what is actually a positive thing about them?
Stop
and think about that. So next time, if I am thinking about them or somebody else is talking about them or whatever it might be, I can take that as an opportunity to build them up instead of tear them down.
That's a good thought because then you start to see people the way that I guess Jesus sees each and every one of us. And I like it because it's something that, you know, it won't happen overnight, obviously, and it's character building and, you know, it takes time to develop all of these things.
Yep.
But I love how you were saying before how Jesus sort of tells us if something happens to you, you react in a way that is going to make the person feel good and maybe even look good, you know, with those around you.
Yep.
And it's good how, you know, sometimes your behavior is like a ripple effect and you never know who's watching you, especially if you're a Christian.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, Jesus goes on a little bit later and maybe we'll touch on this if we have time where he says, don't judge and you will not be judged.
Mm.
You know, don't condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. And I think all of these tie back to, you know, this same approach to connecting with other people.
Yep.
And, you know, if I, you know, again, do to others as you would want them to do to you. Okay, well, if I want somebody to forgive me, I need to forgive as well. Yep. I need to take the initiative.
Mm.
You know, if I want someone to not judge me, I need to not judge others.
Other people, yep.
If I want others to give to me, then I need to set the standard.
Yeah.
I need to be the one who's giving to others. Why? Because, well, for one, you could say, well, because Jesus instructed it.
Mm.
But I think Jesus is directing to a bigger point and saying, you know, you don't just do these because I said, here's the rules, and follow the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
He's saying you do it because it is loving to do.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, if you want to see people have beautiful connected relationships,
yeah.
If you want to restore your relationships with people that you haven't got along with in the past,
mm.
if you want to have more peace, more joy in your life, you know, that's why you'll do it.
Yep.
Not just because the rules are the rules and you've got to make sure you do the rules.
Yep.
It's because you know that by doing this, I mean, I would say that you are restoring the world to what Jesus intended it to be mm. when he created it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for our relationships.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess it does come back to, in a sense, like this thing at the very start of the creation of the world, God reveals mm. that he is a relational God
yep.
and it's incredibly important to him. And so our relationships are incredibly important to him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if there's something that is standing in the way of our relationship with another person, he's saying, you know, it's not our role to force them to change.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus doesn't force any of us to change, right? Yep. But he does lead by example.
Mm, yep.
I mean, I know in my life, if I want somebody to do something, you know, this will sound a bit manipulative, but here we go.
Yep.
If I want somebody to do something, I can either say, do this or else.
Yeah.
As in, you do this or I'm going to beat you up.
Something bad will happen.
Or you do this or you are a so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or I can model the behavior myself.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
So if I want somebody to be kind to me, I need to be kind to them first.
Yep.
And if I think somebody has got it wrong, you know, whether it's, you know, a day of the week that they go to church on,
mm.
you know, because that's a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a particular food they're eating or something like that. And I think, oh, that's not the right thing. Is beating them over the head and saying, no, you must do this. Mm. You must do this. Going to change their mind?
No, it will probably make it harder for you to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, look, there's a lot more we can touch on in this, and we will do that when we come back from this next song. But I guess the point is, you know, when we read these things that Jesus is saying, sometimes there's things he shares that seem easy,
mm.
but there's stuff that's tough.
That is really challenging.
Yeah. And it's a good challenge, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Every time we take Jesus, when we take God up on his challenges, we know that the outcome is going to be good for us.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be a hard slog and
there's nothing at the end.
nothing gained. Yeah. We know that it's absolutely going to be a better outcome. All right, you're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Remember, you can text in at any point on 0488 185 00. Remember that number, because when we come back from this next song, we're going to give you a giveaway. We're going to give you the code word for today's giveaway, which is a really cool thing, and it's all to do with the Bible. So look forward to that. We're going to listen to now All Sons and Daughters with the song Called Me Higher. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. To who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Will you lead me?
Listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. Yeah, make sure you do text in your thoughts, or maybe you're following the theme of today's show and keeping quiet. That's all right. Yes. You know, maybe you don't agree, and because of that, you're being kind and not saying anything at all.
So well done.
Exactly. Yeah, you've learned the lesson. We're very proud of you. You're listening to Conversations here this afternoon on Faith FM. If you're listening live, it is Monday, the 17th of June, 2024. In Melbourne time, it is 4:37 p.m. in the afternoon, which means it's almost dark.
Yeah, it gets dark real quick.
Good old winter here in Melbourne. Before that song, which was All Sons and Daughters with Called Me Higher, I mentioned we're going to give away the code word for today's free offer. So let's do that now. Today's free offer is a book called Enjoy the Living Word. And if you've sometimes looked at the Bible and wondered, you know, what's the deal with this? How's it all put together? Why should I trust it? You know, how is it written? You know, maybe you've looked at the Bible and gone, man, there's like 20 different, well, 20 is probably an understatement, but like 20 different versions of this thing. Yeah. There's the NIV and the KJV and the NKJV and the ASV and the ESV. Ah, I don't know. Is there one that's more right than the other? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you felt a bit challenged with that, or maybe you just want to understand the Bible a bit better.
Yeah.
Today's free offer is a book called Enjoy the Living Word, which is going to help you wrap your head around what the Bible is, understand how it was written, understand like what does inspiration mean when it comes to the writing of the Bible, and also see how it actually all ties together. The Bible is not just a collection of different historical traditions or anything like that that were sort of pieced together later. It's a very interesting, interconnected book that was written over the span of 1600 years. And the more you understand about the Bible and how it's placed together, the more I think you'll actually understand a bit more about Jesus. Because the purpose of the Bible is to point to Jesus. So if you would like to get a copy of today's free offer, this great little book called Enjoy the Living Word by Peter Roenfelt, all you need to do is pull out your phone. You can do that right now and text today's code word, which is C0617. So C0617. And you want to text that to our conversation show number, which is 0488 185 00. So one more time. The code word is C0617, and text that to our conversation show number 0488 185 00. Now, if you missed the code word or you're not sure how it all works, you can just send us a panic message that just says help to our show number 0488 185 00, and we'll make sure that we get that all set up and working for you, because we don't want anyone to miss out on these free offers.
No.
They're really great. And, you know, ultimately, we want you to be able to grow in your relationship with Jesus. That is the purpose of all of these conversations that we
definitely
have. Now, let's go back to the Bible. What I actually want to have a quick look at now comes from the book of James. Now, James was actually one of Jesus's brothers. So if you go to the book of James, he became one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem after Jesus had died, resurrected, and returned to heaven. So James would have had a pretty interesting life, I think, you know, having a familial relationship with Jesus. And in becoming one of the leaders of this new movement of Christians, you know, they didn't even call themselves Christians back then. They referred to themselves as, we are the followers of the way, because Jesus referred to himself as the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
So kind of the same sort of thing. But for James, he writes this letter that we know of as the book of James. And the thing that he's dealing with basically is a lot of all the different challenges that come with trying to manage the conflicts and conundrums of this whole new movement. And it's interesting because in the book of James, there's so many different things about being careful with what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is really one of the strong focuses of this whole thing. That if you claim to be a follower of God, you got to be careful what you say.
Yeah.
So for instance, let me share a couple of different ones here. So in James chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, those who consider themselves religious but do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless.
Mm.
I mean, that's quite a statement, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless.
See, that's interesting, right? Because I think it's pretty easy to fall into the trap of going, well, you know, I do the Ten Commandments. I don't murder anybody. You know,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
cheat or steal or whatever. But James here is actually saying, well, you know, all those things might be true. But if you're not careful with what you say, you know, Jesus in the book of Matthew, one of the things he said is from the heart, the mouth speaks.
Oh, okay.
And so the point is, it's like what we say is reflective of who we really are.
Yeah, yeah,
and what
sure.
we really believe.
So it's almost like what you say can effectively cancel out anything else that you believe or that you think that you've done good.
Especially in the eyes of people watching on, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That shows you how powerful words really are.
Absolutely. You know, words really have the ability to, you know, people often say, oh, you know, like words or stories or whatever it is live on.
Yeah.
You know, and you might say something about somebody else as like a casual throwaway line.
Yeah.
But people can carry that with them for years and years. And it stews away in their head and
sometimes like life decisions are made based on something that someone was told years ago, you know, about themselves.
Absolutely. And if you want to look in James, like chapter 3, basically this entire chapter here is really about, you know, being careful with what we say. And maybe let me just check how much time we got for the next one. We got a couple of minutes. All right. So Alicia, do you want to read out James chapter 3, and we'll go from verse 2 through till verse 6. How does that sound?
2 to 6, yep. And it reads, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell."
Oh boy!
Wow!
So that's quite a statement, and this is, you know, from somebody who's trying to deal with all the problems that are going on in this church, and they're saying, "Mate, you know, it's the things that people say that are causing, you know, all the big problems here."
That's I'm just thinking about experiences that I've had within the church setting, and you know, you have families leave, or you know, there's conflict in the church, and it all starts with something that someone has said.
Yep.
And it's always never good.
And you know, it's not that different in workplaces. It's not that different in families. You know, what James is dealing with here as the person who's kind of overseeing this new church is no different to any other sort of structure or organization or whatever you want to put it. It's the same sort of problems, because when we're not careful with what we say, we hurt other people. When we choose to say things instead of being silent, we hurt other people.
Imagine how many people would be okay if someone just had not said anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy to think that all it takes is just silence sometimes to change the course of someone's life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you ever take like a speech, like a public speaking course, for example, they will hammer into you the idea that it is the silence, it is the pauses in what you say that will always be the thing that hammer home the real point.
So
a lot of the time, it's not actually the things that you are saying. It's when you choose to say nothing.
Wow.
That will make people focus on what you're really saying.
Wow.
Because, you know, we live in a society where we're used to noise and we're just used to all sorts of talking. And, you know, how many people do you see these days walking down the street or something and they've always got their
headphones or earpods.
But to truly say nothing and, you know, it's just very different to, I suppose, the cultural values of the world that we live in. So I guess, you know, the point of bringing this up is, you know, for James here, we look at it and we might go, oh, man, that seems like a bit of an overkill sort of thing to say, you know, it's our tongue that corrupts our whole body. And, you know, it sets the whole course of our life on fire. Mm. And, it itself is set on fire by hell. I looked at that the first time. I was like, man, you know, that seems a bit intense.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, what we say can do so much damage. And I know it probably feels like we're really hammering this in, but, you know, this is
really
what the Bible is emphasizing here. Yep. You know, if we go on a little bit further, if we go verse 9 and 10 of chapter 3.
Yep, and it says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Who have been made in God's likeness? Mm. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be."
So I think one of the things that James is raising here is something that Jesus also raises. He's saying the reason we need to be careful with what we say, you know, is when we speak, we can devalue others.
Mm. Yep.
And Jesus in coming to earth, his part of his mission was to demonstrate that it's actually really important to value the people who are not valued in society. And James actually mentions this a little bit back in chapter 1. Let me just find that. He actually comments on this idea that when, you know, we talked about before saying, those who consider themselves religious but do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Then he says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So he's actually saying, you know, to see the value in others instead of, you know, treating them as if they don't matter.
Yeah,
something like that. And a lot of the time with what we choose to say, we treat other people like they don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because sometimes we don't think about the way we're treating others if they're not right in front of us. It's like, well, I didn't say it to him, so it doesn't matter, So it's that's what this is sort of making me think. The way we treat others matters, and it happens whether we're in front of them or whether we're with other people.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's very true. So I guess, you know, the point in bringing all of this up, you know, James kind of goes on a little bit further and he basically says, so I'll just read this a bit here in James 3:13. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes with wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it." Again, just don't say it.
That's
something. "Or deny the truth. This wisdom does not come from heaven. It is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." But the wisdom, so, you know, like a lot of that, you know, is very much related to speech. But even here in verse 17, he goes on to say that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I guess, you know, maybe that's something for us to consider when we're thinking about what we choose to say. Is it coming from a place of envy? You know, do we speak down about other people's because we envy them, because we wish we had this or we wish we were seen to be better? Does it come from a place of selfish ambition? Or does it come from a place of, you know, you can kind of see all of these things here are relational again.
Yeah.
Envy is relational. It's related to somebody else.
Yeah.
Selfishness has an effect on somebody else. And equally here, being peace-loving is a relational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being considerate of other people, being submissive, all of these things are relational as well. And, you know, and how Jesus said before, this whole thing of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, James says something very similar here. He says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Mm, yes.
So, you know, if you would choose to have peace, then be a peacemaker, be a peace lover. So there's a lot of interesting things we can draw out of it, but we're kind of running down the clock a little bit for the show today. So I guess a good place to kind of conclude this will be to quickly, I want to jump to a proverb. There's lots of good proverbs about, you know, silence. Funny, funny, isn't it? Like you, the book of Proverbs written by the wisest man ever to speak. There's a lot about being careful with what we say in there. And there's a very particular one I wanted to share. Let me just find it. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent.
Oh, wow. That says a lot.
It really does, doesn't it? Equally, Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back.
Wow.
So, you know, we can go through all sorts of different proverbs, but there's a lot of those things. Same thing, you know, another one here. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame.
Mm, okay.
Yep. There's another one here, Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble.
And we all want to stay out of trouble.
I'd like to think we do. Some, maybe some people are going for a bit of a tiff or
more
something
in,
like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, you know, the point in bringing this up is try it for yourself.
Mm.
Maybe your life isn't full of peace and it isn't full of joy.
Yeah,
Maybe your life is full of conflict and anger or envy or frustration or feeling like you're frustrated at other people.
Yeah.
And maybe you're tempted to say, you know, unkind things about other people a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're tempted to share those with people who will then also judge others. Mm. The challenge that the Bible is basically giving us, you know, it seems simple, which is just choose to not say
just
it.
Just chill and, yeah, be silenced.
And, you know, see what the outcome of that is. You know, I love this that idea in Proverbs 17, you know, saying like, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if your goal is to have people respect you and think that you're very smart, maybe just stop blurting out stuff, you know. I remember reading a fascinating anecdote. It was someone who was high up in like the business management world.
Okay.
And he was kind of just saying the people who make it to the top a lot of the time are not the ones who have the answer to everything.
Mm.
They're the ones who...
That's interesting.
Yeah, keep their mouth shut and listen.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that's something that's kind of resonated with me over the years because I remember once in a different job I was working in, I was in a meeting and it was about something I didn't really know a whole lot about.
Okay.
And then somebody asked me a question of what I thought about this and and instead of doing the right thing, I did the wrong thing. And the wrong thing was pretending to look like I knew what I was talking about. And I kind of said something and the manager there with me kind of goes, no, that's not right at all. Why would you do that?
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. And instead, like what I guess I've tried to learn to do now is to instead say, well, actually, I don't know.
Mm, okay.
I'm not going to pretend that I do.
Yep.
And I'll try and talk to some other people. I'll try and figure out what the right thing to do is, and then I'll come back to you.
That takes a lot of like putting your pride aside and a lot of humility to just be okay with being silent or just not saying anything, especially in the heat of the moment.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's true, but I guess at the same time, you know, I think people actually will respect that more.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To actually be able to say, well, actually, I don't know.
Mm, yeah.
But I will try and find out. Mm. I will try and figure it out, and I'll let you know once I do know. Again, you know, this whole idea of if you want to be considered wise, you are actually holding your tongue there. Instead yes. of, you know, saying something just that is not on. True and rambling yeah. on or whatever it might be, you're actually choosing to keep quiet by saying, well, actually, I don't know.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So there's some good wisdom in there, I think, for each of us. So again, you know, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about this whole idea of, well, you know, if I don't have something nice to say about somebody else, should I just say nothing at all? Oh, there we go.
And that's our challenge for maybe for this week or for today or for the next couple of hours is
yeah.
trying to not say anything about someone who's not physically in the room
yep.
with you and see how you go.
It is an interesting challenge. And for some people, it might be incredibly easy.
Yeah, yeah.
For others, it might be actually really difficult. But I hope that you do gain something from it that's, you know, useful for you for learning yeah. to be, I mean, again, ultimately more Christ-like, in your behavior towards other people. So, yeah, that's about all we have time for on Conversations today. Thanks for tuning in. And, hey, you know, we shared a little bit earlier in the show about our end of financial year competition.
Mm, yes, we did.
Where you can win an iPad or you could win some gift vouchers, all really cool things. Make sure you go to faithfm.com.au and check out the competition details on the main page there. Go ahead and enter it and see if you can win some cool stuff.
Yeah, And our code word for the...
Our code word, like a special giveaway. Live show code yes. word, is the word speak. So it's related to conversations, right? So, you know, we do a lot of
speaking. Hopefully it's easy to remember.
Exactly. So that's right. Go to the faithfm.com.au page, enter the competition, use our special code word speak to get yourself an extra entry.
Extra entry, yeah.
And more chances of winning. We want you to win that iPhone.
Yes, we do.
Conversations. We'd love you to win it. Equally, if you would like to get today's free offer, which is a great book called Enjoy the Living Word, all about understanding and exploring the Bible, all you need to do is text the code word C0617. So C for conversations, 0617. You want to text that to the conversation show number, which is 0488 185 00. So one more time, the code word C0617. Text that to the conversation show number 0488 185 00.
Awesome.
And yeah, we want to say thank you for tuning into the show today. Thank you for everybody who's texted in. Thank you for the people who are claiming the free offer.
Mm,
we're always excited to see those coming through. Yeah.
It's been good. Yeah.
Yep.
It's good to be back.
And now we will be silent. Thanks for joining us here on Conversations, and we'll be back again same time next week. See ya.